got the wrong number, and then the guy got mad.
All right, it is 5:32 on Monday, May 19th. I'd like to call to order a regularly scheduled meeting of the Monclova Township Board of Trustees. If we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one name under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lieutenant Leach was here. He just stepped out for a minute, so we'll see if he's back. One additional item to the agenda, we will have an executive session to discuss a personnel issue at the end of the meeting. Are there any other additions to the agenda?
I don't have any else.
Okay. With that then, I'll make a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes last meeting, May 15, 2025, our 19-minute meeting.
Second.
Vickery on the motion. Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
All right, and we have Lieutenant Leach has returned. So, John, if you could.
I said it's involved in that action out for Briarfield, so I just get a unit coming.
Yeah, there was one at Burnwick and Salisbury.
We're just clearing out the room there. Good afternoon. Lieutenant Leach, Lucas Kenzoff, thank you for this opportunity to address the Board of Trustees for Over Township, my fire department, some citizens over here. Thank you for the opportunity today. Big thing is right now is traffic in Monclova. More people on the roadway coming out, so the weather's getting warmer. A lot of people going out for drives, a lot of kids out driving, and we're getting a lot of concerned citizens calling about traffic, especially on Black Road, Peppergrass area, about commercial motor vehicle traffic, construction equipment, school buses that are coming up and down there. It's a new roadway, it's a new egress in and out of the neighborhood. As people sit and use to circumvent some of the road closures, so we get a lot of increased traffic in there.
No, we need this road to be unclosed.
Yeah. And this is hopefully going to happen soon, right here, so we can kind of get another route for people to take besides going into the neighborhoods. I spoke with Anthony School District. I spoke to their transportation about it, about some of the concerns about the school buses through there, so they're aware of it. So they were monitoring to make sure that their bus drivers are, you know, obeying the traffic laws through there. They're not speeding through there. I sent traffic grants to there, my whole unit in there to monitor traffic in the area in and out and what's going on. So there were a lot of concerns about what happens to be construction equipment there, because there's several houses being built in that area, in that subdivision. So they monitored for some time there to make sure that they're obeying the laws and they're not doing something they shouldn't be. So it's hopefully slowed down, but as we keep going, another issue will pop up somewhere else. That's what we just had recently, one of a house of worship in the area there, concerns about traffic in and out of that during changeover and services. Went out there, monitored that a little bit, talked to them, gave them some advice on how to control the traffic in and out. Seeing though I haven't heard anything come since then. I said, but also monitoring that in the area too. As we got a lot of people. So this is a very popular area. On Clovis. So I should be proud of that, because there's a lot of people who want to come to this area.
That's why we needed the 28 exit, yes, so badly. So that opening will help as well.
Yes, and I was actually working with them early this morning with them too, trying to help with that. It's going to, you know, that band-aid thing, ripping off that band-aid, it's hurt, you know, for a little bit. But it's going to really be nice as they're out there getting ready to start repaving. They're doing finishing work. So the next couple of weeks, hopefully they'll be done with that, open that up, and we can see another ingress and egress out of this area for Monclova, which should bring more, you know, unfortunately, more vehicles and probably, you know, but we'll make sure, reminder too, to make sure that everybody's obeying the laws and not speeding through here.
This yeah, we love that you make sure we follow our traffic laws. And I love to hear that that's our only problem, right? But I think there's a little mill going on, and I need you to clarify this for me, because I didn't read the report. Typically, I read the monthly report you provide, and it's 30 calls. It's not hundreds of pages, right? Yeah. It's on one page, and the sheriff had to go for a theft or a car break-in or a domestic abuse or whatever the 30 calls in a month. But there's a little rumor mill going around that we're having a crime wave near Churchill's. And, you know, I think this is from Facebook or book or Andywine Next Door neighborhood app. And I want to type or say or yell from the mountaintop, look, maybe there was one break-in. That's not a crime wave.
No, we have, we're not seeing repeated behavior or repeated incidents throughout the area. So, you know, if there's like a crime wave where we see, you know, something like, you know, multiple people being broken into some neighborhoods.
Tire taken off.
We're not, these are isolated incidents that occur. We have some temporary you know, residents at, you know, a local hotel there. So sometimes you have an incident from, to pop up on those where you have an incident that occurs over there at the Days Inn, you know, over there in that area. So we have, you know, things like that to pop up. So when people see that, these reports are like, oh, it's happening in an area, isn't it? But it's just a, you know, a once in a while that something happens, where somebody makes some bad choices or something happens.
You know, it's so positive.
It's not a widespread that's happening in multiple events. And after that, I can explain to anybody who has any questions about it, or even show them. I can pull their area and say, hey, if you want to see a little more detail, there's something on your street. I can pull stuff and go, hey, you know, this is how many calls you've had, you know, in a 6 month period on your street or in your area. And people, you know, and
I might ask for some of that.
Gives a little peace of mind there so that they know that, hey, these are isolated incidents.
I reached out to Harold. Someone texted me in the middle of the day, right? I'm at work lunch, and there was a shooting on Plumbrook, the street in which I live. And there was.
You met Tom?
Yeah. and I reach out to Harold, and he takes it very seriously and reaches out to you, and you're like, we haven't heard anything. And I text this guy back, and he's like, huh, I wonder what they... I'm like, oh, my God, well, I thought you were in the middle of the shooting.
And we get, and people's perceptions of situations are, you know, much different. One person may see it this way, and another person sees it totally different. You know, somewhere in the middle is the truth, you know, what did occur. So it's a perception of what actually occurs on every incident, every situation we have out there. So it's just, you know, but if anybody has questions about any incident, they can reach out and my contact information down there.
Yeah, I just personally reach out and get some of those medals from you.
Get more for you. I can pull up
any
public information. I said, I'll open book and let you know, hey, this is what's going on in the area, or that this is what truly happened on that call. For sure.
Because they're probably listening.
Yeah.
And there's
all kinds of things out there, people. And we appreciate it. I said, you know, there's advice and there's years out there helps us all. I said, but sometimes they don't understand. They don't understand what truly is going on, what they hear.
Okay.
They have to. We get calls all the time that they come in and, you know, worst case scenario, and we're like, oh, and then we get there like, that's not even close to what was just said, you know, to us over the air, or and they're really just getting panicked. But we get there and we're like, yeah, that's not even close to what it is. But they don't hear that part of it. They don't. We get the final disposition of what's going on with it, the case or an incident there. We say, well, I can explain to them and say, you know, help, you know, stop somebody can trying to run in there, take over, you know, Churchill's. I say, oh, it could be just something as simple as a petty theft that could occur, you know, some shoplifting that occurred.
Okay, so. Thank you. Keep worrying about our traffic.
I guess just a a couple of reminders with the weather warmer that I know your guys just encouraged or the golf carts.
They have to be licensed. They're nice, they're fun. I said, but there's a place for them, not on a roadway out there.
I do have a question now that you said golf carts. I've seen these electric bikes like going down the middle, fast down the roads with no license plates, no nothing. What is the rule on electric bikes?
I said it's bicycle right now. It's not considered right now. So I can get you a clarification from the state how they're going to view it as a
actual. Class 2 has a top speed of 20 miles an hour and do not need to be licensed. Class 3, go faster than 20 miles an hour, do have to be licensed.
It's like considered like a mobile.
Kill yourself riding a bike that goes faster than 20 miles an hour.
You got those, you know, electric assist bikes out there. So and with us actually knowing what brand, we have to do a little research.
I've just seen some of them lately, almost like if nobody's come, they're like in the road.
Yeah, and we got, I said, it's just not this area. I said, we have other areas too where we have concerns, especially for the neighborhood. You know, kids get these little, look like electric dirt bikes, and they're riding through the, you know, my.
It just happened. My way here, somebody on Salisbury Road.
These razor bikes, and
they were riding right in the middle. They were like doing wheelies, spin circles in Salisbury Road.
Call us and track them down. I'd try to take them to them if we have to take people.
I should have died. 911.
You got a kid riding around in the middle of the street. I said it's a concern.
And then it would be our problem because we don't have the connectivity done, right?
All right.
I am working.
Any other questions for John?
I'm done.
Thank you. Stay safe out there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our fiscal officer has presented bills totaling $253,151.85. I'll make a motion to pay those as submitted.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang, Herschel.
Yes. And then no correspondence, but Gavin, you had just a couple of discussion items in your report.
Yeah, I believe I emailed out to you just our preliminary budget. We still might make a couple changes before the final hearing, just for you to review and ask questions before the next meeting. And then it just, we had two life insurance policies. We were buying a life insurance policy that our health insurance provided. Life insurance also, I guess it out. Both were set up when I started, and we figured that out, so we canceled the one policy.
So we could have double dipped.
Yeah. No one died during the time, right. So we didn't get any value. So
that's good.
Was it convertible?
Yeah. So.
All right. Under old business, Harold, you have an update on the roundabout that I know a lot of folks out on Stitt Road are concerned about.
Yes, we do now have information from the county engineer's office on the permit that we obtained to maintain the Stitt and Waterville Mount Clover roundabout. They've provided us with the detail on the stone, where we're supposed to get it, what kind of stone we're supposed to get, and who we have to work with. And Doug plans to, I believe, start working on clearing it off tomorrow. So
I appreciate that, because I did another email from the lady talked to me a year ago, bringing up the same subject, and I told her that it was very close to being everything approved to the county engineer. So, Tammy, if you're listening, the roundabout starts
Trudy
tomorrow.
Trudy did it, Tammy!
roundabout starts tomorrow.
With the dense vegetation, though, just there may be some lion, tigers, or bears somewhere.
It's just coming out. We're not going to make it go away. Did you want it?
All right, then also in that work session, we discussed a couple things, the connectivity of looking at somehow extending the shoulder of the road, or how to connect the Renwood Ridge subdivision with the trails and everything down here. So Harold's going to reach out to Lucas County Engineer, see what our options are as far as potentially the shoulder. And then also maybe putting some type of berm or something along the township portion of the bike path there, so that they don't have to ride in the street. They can at least ride in the grass and not on the highway there. And then also Harold's going to reach back out. We talked to the engineer last year, was to help us write an RFP on a connectivity study for the township. Harold's going to reach back out to Mike Young to see what the status of that is.
And get the tip of the town that did it and all of the materials. I want to go back to, sorry, Chuck, I know you don't want to rediscuss this, but I want connection from our baseball field to this road, so across this property. We don't have to worry about a septic system anymore. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And it can be as simple as what we have at Weckerly Park. Keener Road Park? Yeah, we have a park at Weckerly now, Keener Road Park. It can be that simple. And if you need a, I will make a motion and see if I have the votes.
Well, Harold, we have seen the preliminary design of the roundabout. Is there a sidewalk included?
There is.
So, yeah.
There is. in the within the parameters of the
roundabout only.
Yes.
So it'll connect to the bridge at least in this.
It will not.
It'll come close, but it won't. Yeah. It won't directly connect.
So then I do have a question.
So there's sidewalks.
Is the township, once that roundabout is put in, and I think you worked before here on getting sidewalks on Maclova, that the township did pay for, I do believe. It was before my time.
No, it was the county.
The county did? Okay, so what I'd maybe like Carol to do, are we allowed, since it's a county road, where the sidewalks and Barbara, to continue to the bridge?
That's a preference, that Harold figures out if we can run a separate project and actually put sidewalks in.
But for now, we can put the gravel.
But
Doug?
But if we can't get that project done, I want the gravel done. I don't want to sit here next year.
We discussed this last year, and I don't have a problem. If you want to make the motion, I do not have a second. It would just be the maintenance department getting somewhere on you, Doug. I'm sorry. Taking it.
Not sorry. Well,
don't we were a year and a half out from the roundabout.
Oh, we're a year and a half out? So,
July 26th.
Yes. To put some gravel down right now for people to use for this summer, it works.
So, why don't we take parking space away out front, okay? We'll eliminate that. We'll stripe it yellow stripes so people don't park there. So, when you come across the stone, you have some place to go versus Alvin Road. So, that'll dump them into our parking lot like the last sign. And we'll put it this side of our Montclova sign and cut across the yard. That way, it's far enough away from the road, it gets into the bridge. And basically six what I would think would be enough.
How big at the park? I think they're 4 feet.
Well, I can put a truck on it, so
six. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to figure something out, then just bring it back.
Whatever a swipe is, I want you to simply do this and accomplish it. So
if you say do it, and you guys say yes.
I'm saying yes. Oh,
yeah. We'll have it done by the next meeting.
That's fine. I don't think we need a motion for that.
We're all in agreement, so we're good.
Because it'll come out next year with the roundabout.
It'll come out potentially.
It's
or potentially not.
It's an inexpensive way to do it.
Yeah.
It's an 18-month fix.
Is that okay now, Barbara? Mm-hmm. We did discuss that quite a while ago, too. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you keeping track of when we talk about things.
Under new business, we have a couple of our Toledo Express Airport Joint Economic Development District appointments. Jeff Michael from Swanton Township represents Swanton and Monclova Township as a township representative on the board. His term is expiring July 1st, and typically the township representative, which I was prepared to him, served through term. So
I move to reappoint Jeff Michael for the continued service on the Monclova Township, Swanton Township, City of Toledo, Joint Economic Development District for the Toledo Express Airport. This term will expire July 1 of 2029.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And then Dustin Summer, who was the business representative, has moved out of the area. He was no longer with Trotter, and Joe Capel from Port Authority has a recommendation to replace him with David Cole. David is with Willie's, he's the COO of Willie's Salsa, who operates out there at the airport.
I move to appoint David Cole to the Monclova Township, Swanton Township, City of Toledo Joint Economic Development District for the Toledo Express Airport. This term will expire July 1, 2026, as you were explaining.
Yeah.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right, and then we have our support, Eric. Eric, before we get started, into your report, we did talk a little bit in the working session about maybe looking at some type, and Don and Harold are going to do a little homework and reach out to the OTA, but some beautification projects potentially that aren't maybe necessarily the township responsibility, but if we can get a quick fix, to take care of a problem, and then see if we get remunerated, we do. If we don't, we don't. But along those lines, the discussion came up on the house about 28. and how you and I talked about the liens on them, that you had a potential option with the land bank.
Yeah, I talked to the representative from the land bank actually on Friday. We had a nice conversation, and the state of Ohio budget comes out every year around the 4th of July, and sometimes there's money for demo. And so her and I are going to keep in touch, and she's going to keep an eye out for that for me to see if there's some money for demo. But in the meantime, I think the course of action, I went and checked it late last week. It's you know, it looks worse. Honestly, probably the bad weather. Mm-hmm. I recommend at the next meeting that we declare it a nuisance. I can get that all ready for you. But the idea would be, we could potentially get reimbursed for the cost of tearing it down if the state money is available.
But with the land bank, will they negotiate between the lien holders after auction? Let's say if there's liens of $100,000 and it goes for $75,000 at auction, and you know, pay the demo costs, and then the rest was between the lien holders. How does that work when they negotiate auction?
I asked about liens, and she said they can remove all liens from a property to give it a clean title.
Oh, the land bank can.
Even a state lien, yeah, they can. The land bank can remove all encumbrances on a title so it can have a clean sale. And she mentioned possibly that they could do an expedited tax foreclosure and possibly get it you know, into productive reuse a lot quicker. And her and I are going to keep having conversations on that. So.
Now, it looks like, looking at areas, that this house is 4 years past due on the taxes. Is the county, post-COVID, not taking tax sale auctions? Or
There's a lot of, I mean, I look at the legal notices every week for the township, I mean, for the entire county, but all the township legal notices. There's a lot of tax foreclosures still. I'm not sure if it's just a backup because there's so many, maybe in older neighborhoods in inner city areas, maybe there's so many foreclosures for just vacant lots and stuff that maybe it's just a backup, I'm not sure. But they're still doing tax foreclosures.
So I think what we came to working with the land bank.
Yeah.
So we'll expect to be in the report next time.
We'll take the news. We'll take dual pass here.
Yeah, I may not have it. The land bank, like I said, they mentioned time. Around July for, but I can certainly work on the declaring it a nuisance.
It's been there for a long time. I don't think it's anything that has to be pushed through right at this moment.
Yeah. All right, what else do you have in the rest of your report, Eric?
A lot of information, a lot of people asking questions about things. The permits are coming in pretty strong now, too. They're not all listed on here because some of them haven't been yet by the time you report Portland, but just a lot of people asking a lot of questions. It's that time of year. It's spring. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Have the developers been responsive with the mud in the street issues and things like that?
They have, yeah.
So we require permits for fences.
Right.
For barns.
Right.
And maybe a shed? Not a shed if it's small enough.
We require permits for any size shed, but if it's under 200 square feet, then you don't need to get a building permit, which is where the foundation comes in.
So when you issued that certificate, you looked at a drawing and you said it can be placed here, it's within the zoning resolution.
Right.
And here you go. Yeah. Then they go out and they put their fence up, and the fence is actually on the other person's property, on their neighbor's property. So now their neighbor calls you and says, hey, this fence is on my property. What's your answer to that?
That happened maybe, honestly, once or twice since I've been here. Somebody had to move fence before.
How'd you do something?
It's a property dispute between two landowners.
So you say, I can't help you.
I don't have any authority to force them to move that fence, no.
Right.
It becomes a private dispute.
But you gave them the permit. You have authority to give a permit out.
Right.
But what they do with that permit doesn't matter then. It seems to me it's a lot like the parking issue we have. You're not allowed to store a car on the street, but we have no way to enforce that.
No, it's not that it doesn't matter. It's that and basically I'm, you know, not a surveyor, obviously. So I look at their site and everything adds up. If they put it somewhere slightly different way that, where they say they're going to put it, if there's any kind of property encroachment, then that becomes a private issue. That's where the neighbor can force them to move the fence because it's an encroachment. I don't have authority over property line disputes is what I'm trying to say.
I think the question is, if it's supposed to be 15 foot and they put come in and it's 15 foot, but they put it at 10 foot, do you have any way to be like, it's supposed to be 15 foot, that's what the permit is, you put it at 10, it's not encroaching. Do we have a mechanism to correct that they...
If they submit a site plan, it's not supposed to be an easement, for example, and they build an easement.
Possibly. I mean, it's a little different for buildings than for fences, because fences don't have a setback. They just have to be on the property.
Right. You're right. I gave a bad example. Thanks, Kevin.
But yeah, if something is in the easement and it's not supposed to be, we could potentially force somebody to move something because they're not going to the what they said they would do in the permit. So, yeah.
And over 200 square feet isn't us anyway. It's the county.
That's the county.
So they should call the county and say they're building the wrong spot. Please come out and stop this.
Well, no. So under 200 square feet, it still needs a zoning certificate, but it doesn't need a building permit. And that's where the foundation comes in, and that's what people... A lot of times people try to get right under the limit so they don't have to pour a foundation or build a rat wall or any of those things. And so that's what I was getting at. But any size shed, even a 10 by 10, still needs a zoning certificate.
Okay.
And we have regulation where sheds are supposed to be property lines.
Yeah.
Right.
And if we put it not within those regulations,
then we could theoretically force them to move a shed. Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm thinking of agriculture becomes difficult. How high can a barn be? You know, you're not obviously going to make this person move a barn.
Yeah.
Maybe you would, but. I guess what I'm getting at is that when somebody's calling for help to say we're not a surveyor isn't a really good answer. Who do they turn to if we don't have an answer?
So I had issue on a piece of property that had encroachment on it, and I just, as the private property owner, went to the other private property owner
and said this is a problem.
This is a problem. One of two things is going to happen. We're going to come to an agreement, or you're not going to like the legal process. And then we came to an agreement. And so...
Right, but not everybody's Gavin.
Yeah, well, the person that has the problem, if you are in the right, you have legal rights against someone doing an encroachment on your property.
And I'm not suggesting Eric become a surveyor, but it seems like if we issue a permit that says you need to be 15 foot from the property line and you're 10 foot from the property line and the stakes there... We can figure that out, but you're saying we can't because you don't know where the property line is.
No, what I'm saying, I thought you were talking about fences. So that's where the conversation started.
Just trying to use.
Yeah.
So a shed, but we can legally, if they build, if the permit's, 15, they site plan, they're going to build 15 and they put it 10, we can legally force them to move that.
Who
goes out, though, and finds out that it's 10? We aren't. Eric's not a surveyor. So I trespass on my neighbor's property and measure. It's a very interesting dilemma.
Take a laser, you see it right at the very
People kind of, you'd be surprised how much people kind of, they do that. What happens is they see their neighbor starting to build something.
Yes, and they call you.
And they call me.
Who else are they going to call?
And they call me, and it's very early in the, usually they're tearing the grass up and like wooden stakes in the ground. And then I call the person and say, hey, you're required to have 10 feet and they're saying it's only 8 feet. That's happened a number of times. Yeah. And that's when we catch it. It's not when it's already built. The neighbors, the instant groundwork starts, they're out there with a laser, with a tape measure. And then they call me. And then I call the person up and say, hey, there's a discrepancy. We have to resolve this. And then occasionally they have to they have to, you know, push their wooden stakes back 2 feet. It's happened before. But it's not when it's finished early in the process. People catch that.
That's the way I would like handled.
That's how it is handled, yeah. And it's early because the groundwork comes before the building, and neighbors notice the groundwork.
Okay.
Right. Any other questions on Eric and his report? All right. Chief Holmuth, you had 183 calls last month?
Yes, sir. 183 for the month of April with the breakdown provided on there. And I had a couple items for action tonight, two of our part-time firefighter resignations. The first one, Andrew Douglas. I apologize, this one came in while I was off on leave and I forgot to include it with my April report. So his resignation became effective at the end of March. And then firefighter Scott May resigned at the beginning of April. Both employees had returned all their township-issued equipment and items.
Are they leaving fire service or first aid service? Or?
No, both of them have full-time employments as well as some other part-time employments, and they're just wanting to cut back on time. Didn't feel they had the time to commit to our department.
Are the majority of our part-timers still getting the three-shift requirement per month?
We still have a couple that we're working with, but yes, we have quite a few that are in compliance with that or exceeding that.
I move to accept the resignation of Andrew Douglas, effective March 21st, 2025, and the resignation of Scott May, effective April 5th, 2025.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Thank you. And then the second one was for our fire prevention vacancy. We went through and looked at alternative options as far as what we had with part-time personnel. We did have three part-time personnel, two of which worked mostly on the day shifts, some of the night shifts, and then one that was exclusive to the night shifts. Had some conversations with them, and they weren't sure that they had that much more time that they could commit beyond the regular shifts to help us with that. Chief Junker and I and some of the other staff members were keeping up on a lot of the community risk reduction activities, such as the residential smoke detectors and the residential noxes. Consults and installations, and then Chief Junker and I have been handling the inspection activity that comes in from the county for the plan reviews, alarm tests, and that. But we're still a little bit behind on actual annual inspections for the year. So I would like to be able to proceed with posting for a full-time fire inspector position. I provided a couple surveys of area departments with their wages, and our recommendation is for a 40-hour week position with the pay at $30 to $3 per hour based on their qualifications and experience. And I'm just asking for your permission to go ahead and put that together for a posting and start the hiring.
Do we anticipate anybody internally potentially bidding on this?
I have not heard from anyone internally.
Well, he's a firefighter then, so...
Mm-hmm.
Do you want them to? You want to lose a firefighter?
I think it's always encouraging when anybody internally can promote somebody from within.
We normally post internal and external at the same time with our positions.
Have you fulfilled the open spot yet?
The last remaining
yes.
Full-time spot? No, we have that to repost as well.
So there's nobody to fulfill that position that have already applied for it?
We have had interviews for that. We did go through the hiring committee, did not have a recommendation. from those applicants, but we have an eligible list of people that have applied in the past. Their names are usually kept for a period of 1 year from their original appointment. So when we have a reposting, we consider those applicants as well.
Hasn't this been open since November?
The end of December.
We've had the opening since the end of December, and it has not been filled.
Correct.
Harold, could we look at a new model for this position? Because I just have, and I've said it several times, that I can't imagine we have enough fire inspection in the field to keep it busy for 40 hours. Chief might dispute me a bit. But could make this a fire prevention economic development position? Like, they're visiting businesses, right? Is there a creative way to do something a little unique here? Not just be fire prevention, but talk about what other services they might need? Like, maybe this person could be more...
kind of like a township ombudsman?
Yeah, more diverse than just, I'm worried about your exit light being that. They need to be worried about that if they're fire prevention, but they have a big repertoire of skills. So they're not getting on a truck and fighting a fire. That's not what this person is doing. That's not what this person is doing listed right here.
Well, they could be eligible for that if, you know, we got a house fire or a major incident.
Correct. It would only be for
their primary responsibility.
Right, right. Their primary responsibility is the prevention aspect, but they hold the whole fire card and typically an EMS card as well, working for the fire department, so they are available, but they don't.
Well, what if they didn't, and they were a retired firefighter or something like that, but they have this other great skill set?
Well,
look at me, reimagine.
They need to. If
they have to hold a state certification.
Yeah, they have to
hold a fire
certification training to be current. Yeah.
As a fire inspector, not as a firefighter.
No, they.
I would think that certification's a lot easier as an inspector.
Well,
I might be able to pass it.
It's a class, and you go through, and then you have to.
I don't have to climb up
education.
The ladder, and I don't have to pass a physical.
No. I mean, we would have a physical for them to do, but not like a physical agility test. We have just, a medical physical. We have a physical agility test that we use for our fire certifications. There are some departments. The city of Toledo utilizes civilian fire inspectors.
There. Civilian is the word I'm looking for. And I think there's Don said it in the work session. There's another thing for you to do. This could take some things off your plate. Maybe.
Well, I mean, that's something, we could put in the job posting that as long as they have their certification, but a civilian, you know.
With a whole different skill set.
Right.
A happy.
Do we want to come back with a description of what they would like to post?
I think they want to post this, and I'm asking for something else.
I know, that's
I mean,
what I'm
no,
saying.
But, I mean,
maybe nobody else that's worthwhile to it, it's for.
Well, they have a bunch of businesses.
Right. It might draw your pool of applicants to have a civilian, potential civilian, who's got the state certification, inspection certification. Do you think that it would?
It's almost like they're cross-trained.
I'm not sure what type of training you're talking about or what type of qualifications they would need for that, other than the state certified inspector position. But that would be a requirement for them to have.
Yeah, but without the firefighter EMT certification.
There may be some retired personnel that would be that interested in it. I'm not sure. I mean, there are some departments that use some part-time inspectors that they often have some retired fire personnel. But some of the retirements, it limits you as to, when you retire through the pension system, what kind of job you can take, or if you were on a disability from the pension system, you're limited to what types of employment you can have.
Right. That's interesting. Like that, yeah.
We can certainly reach out to OTA and see if there's anybody
with that
in
kind of
state that maybe does that and see what that looks like.
They don't have a very good database of facts. I keep bothering them about that because we all learn so much from each other.
Well, are we comfortable moving ahead with the posting, but maybe put civilian applicants with the proper certification or can I apply?
You both think this is a full-time job or a part-time job?
I didn't say that. So obviously we lost our fire prevention officer, but you guys have been picking up on it. But the question is it a full-time position?
I feel it is. I mean, there are continuous amount of contacts that come in. I mean, we have all of our businesses that we try to get into for an annual inspection.
How many businesses, Matt?
I don't have that number in front of me.
I think it's close to 200.
I think we're up a little higher than that, but because some of the inspections are all, they're also for, I mean, for daycare, foster care, they have to do inspections for those on an annual basis. The community risk reduction.
The nursing homes are a little more frequently, aren't they?
I'm sorry?
The nursing homes.
Nursing homes are an annual that we typically do. The nursing homes, the healthcare facilities, the hotels, they're licensed through the state, so the state also does an inspection. So typically we're in those occupancies more than once if our timing with the state inspector doesn't match up. But we try to match our time with the state inspector as well so that we're in there together. And then we have, we have, obviously if we get a complaint or something to go in and check on a situation in the nursing homes, and we have other activities that we do in the interim. But we try to do an annual inspection of all and then...
But our former inspector was not a full-time inspector. He did other things as well.
Well, he was a full-time inspector, and then he also, he held his fire card and his EMS card, so he did help us on some of the shift work.
So that was above and beyond. He got paid for however many hours a week above 40, because 40 hours a week spent on just doing inspections.
If he picked up on an overtime shift, yes.
I said he spent 40 hours a week. You just said he was a full-time inspector. He spent 40 hours a week on inspections.
Well, that's what his job was with the fire prevention position, was the full-time inspector. But he held a fire EMS card and also responded when necessary to runs. But his main function was and then as a fire department employee, he was eligible for picking up shift openings ahead. It was under the contract.
I'm going to take a pass on this right now because I'm a little discouraged that you have not filled that open position since December. It hasn't. Now it's January, February, March, April. Now we're at the end of May, so for 5 months we have not filled an open position that was available in December of 2024. So we're going to hire a fire prevention officer. We couldn't have filled the position when our one fire got
left. We will be working to fill that position as well. We just need to have another posting for it to get some new applicants.
They interviewed and they didn't hire anybody from the applicant pool who applied.
But all along, we've been talking about changing this position up, and that didn't matter because I got the exact same or even more of, because I don't think Scott worked 40 hours a week on this. He did other things.
So we do get site plan reviews. We get reviews for zoning certificates.
Yes. And he also did this, the program we're working this summer. And he went into people.
And he did a bunch more increasing our community risk reduction activities, which was smoke detector, helping some elderly population with battery changing, different things like that. So that position continues, that we're still, working to do that. but there are more than just the, you know, the annual inspections and the re-inspections that that position does.
For the 250 businesses. So you're saying to me you've gotten as creative as you can, and this is absolutely the best possible job description you can put forward to solve CLOVA's inspection and fire prevention issues.
The fire prevention and activity that this person does helps the overall safety of the community, helps the overall safety for our firefighters, gets us into the businesses so that we can, you know, gather information, pre-plan information, so it's safer for our crews to operate. And they keep up on the helping with the development by, you know, reviewing the site plans from neighborhoods and subdivisions to houses to the commercial properties. Are certainly other activities that they can get into. We can get them into car safety, seat safety inspector class, and we can become a site where somebody who has a car seat and would like to get it properly installed or inspected, they can do that. That's a lot of times what you see with some fire prevention personnel. They do some of that. He's gone out to meet with the HOAs and some of the other business organizations, the facilities, Lake Simacova, some of those ones, and he's participated in their safety meetings in the past and helped boost our presence as far as being there to assist with. We have the components of the public education that the fire prevention person does, fire extinguisher training for businesses, for their employees. We provide CPR training, first aid training. That's usually done with any of our educators or instructors.
I know you mentioned the smoke alarms. I know they've done smoke alarms. Scott did in Waterside as well. Yeah.
So I have a question now that you brought up smoke alarms. I've read on the Toledo Fire page, I don't know if it's true or not. You know how they have postings on Facebook? That there's a program now with the American Red Cross that they will do smoke alarms for different townships, and they named a bunch of townships, Perrysburg, Oregon. I don't know if it's true or not, that they now have volunteers to do smoke alarm installations in different places. Did you read that by the American Red Cross?
I have heard that the American Red Cross, they have gotten together with municipalities and done some smoke alarm programs where they provide the smoke detectors. We also work with the educator here, state fire marshal's educator for our area. He has provided us with residents who needed like the smoke detectors for the hearing impaired. They have a program that we participated through that. We have not done anything with the Red Cross, but that I know that they do have some programs that they're able to do that to help with. A lot of times after a fire death, they've had big pushes in neighborhood and in the other jurisdictions. But the consistency that comes with having the full-time person there, of being the one that goes out, does the inspection, does the re-inspection, does the plan review, and then works the rest of the way with the developers, or that is, I think, an aspect that's important, rather than having a mix of part-time people doing it at different times or working around the schedule. So that they have enough work that they could do to keep up on.
Do you have a job description?
We have one previous that needs a little bit of tweaking to it.
When you put job description, I'll be happy to vote on this. Sorry, Chuck.
Okay. All right. I guess we'll bring this back at our next meeting, tweak that job description. And I think,
sure,
Matt, I mean, some of the things I think, if we can incorporate, like I said, I think from a civilian perspective that it would increase our pool of applicants, but if things like, and I don't know if this is in the current jobs, you know, smoke alarms, or like CPR training for the HOAs, the schools, things like that, more of a,
good
a, a, a community ombudsman, a face of the fire department in the community, where your time are, you know, you're busy running the department, but this person could potentially be a face out there at the schools, the HOAs, the churches, the things like that, talking to various, you know, make, you know, in addition to the inspections.
We could certainly put those different types of instructors into a job description. I would say make them as a recommended or have a B,
yeah,
rather than you know, because if we don't have a candidate that has one, but they're, you know, we can push that position to start that. So once they get hired, if they don't have an AHA instructor, so that they can teach CPR or first aid.
Right.
That we would send them to get that so that they could do that.
Okay. Kathleen, we put that on the agenda for the next meeting then.
I appreciate the extra efforts.
Okay. Registration is out there on the website for Safety Township. Are we starting those to come in?
Yes, Kathleen put it out on the social media and the website, and then just recently sent it out through the app. And we had pretty almost immediate response on several applicants for that. So
okay,
we do have progress working on that. We're meeting tomorrow with some of our staff on finishing the setup for the program, see what supplies we needed, materials we needed for the program, and making contacts with outside agencies for like the fire safety trailer, bike safety, helmets, the metro parks, or nature's nursery for like a wildlife animal education. So we're trying to make all those contacts and get everything set up.
Okay.
For that.
And then your building committee, I see you met. Do you have another follow-up meeting scheduled?
We met briefly today. There was a little bit of a mix-up on the invitation that went out. I'm not sure why. I mean, it seems to have shown that it went out adequately, but so we missed a few people in the meeting today, but we went through the priorities list, the needs, the wants, and kind of set up those things. We're going to take a look at some of the building drugs that we have and take a look at some ideas as far as where we're going to move or put things, and then work with Gavin to, you know, work with as far as the contract schedule and start to put some budgetary things together.
Okay.
So I know.
And lastly, have we still working on our staffing model to peak our staff or peak coverage?
Yes, we're still looking at it. I provided some of the reports again this month.
Yeah, I see those. Yeah, thank you.
I
don't know if it's easy to add, but could there be another column with where in the township? Like, are you sorted by zones? This is Waterside is zone 5, and this overlapping call was zone 5, and the other one was zone 3. Or
we do have a couple of zones set up. They're more set up on some of our
response
plans.
Okay, so not
plans.
Easy to do. Okay.
I
think it would be interesting to have that information.
But we can also create things. We can add something to our report.
It's an easier report to read than the old ones.
New software and new new changes that they've made that have put some other things a little bit easier to garner and grab hold of.
I see the alarm, and then when it's clear there when you arrive on scene. So if the alarm goes at, you know, the first one, 2:26, you know, you're there till 2:57, so you were there for a half an hour, but what time is it? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes to arrive on site? I know.
Not on that report, but I mean, I can find a report that would show you.
Right, that's the whole goal of a full-time staff, that we're delivering service faster,
yeah.
So we would love that information.
Yeah, you know, and I think with that staffing model, so if we're, you know, if we got a, You know, in the morning there's a call at, you know, Bridge versus a call out of Reed Road or something like that. Obviously, it's going to take longer to get out there. So I think I don't want to speak for Trustee Lang, but her zones, you know, kind of dovetailing. That's like, how do we get maximum efficiency out of our staff, and how do we staff for to maintain or get that maximum efficiency and call time response time.
If that helps, Matt, I can, your chief, I can give you our zones that we use for like our plow routes or leaf routes. And the only reason why we have is so we're on the same stage all the time. So
right.
I reference zones during leaf season, whatever else. Like if we were all on the same page, and when you say zone, whatever, we all know what we're talking about, no matter what we're talking about.
You could
about.
Get us to memorize them. Maybe we should make them the same as polling.
Yeah.
So I know.
I mean, we do have a couple of different districts set up based on responses, as well as then we have some inspection districts set up that the previous inspector created to break apart the businesses. And we can tweak the report. We can add some, some district or subdivisions, that type of thing. I think I should be able to run by subdivision on the report. I will look into that and see if that's, some, that's something to be added to it.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions for Chief Holmick? All right. Doug, I see your report here. Just everything. How did it work out with Perfect Sweep with the dumpster being in the township?
Well, I would say we had less complaints. We had rain in between whenever, so that kind of screwed some things up. So, like, we had more complaints of dust in the center of the road. So, to address that, if you ever bend carpet, you get lined, right?
Yes.
Essentially, it's the same thing. It's still going to create dust, no matter how much water they put down. That is the nature of what that does. However, adding a dumpster at our maintenance building cut down on their turnaround time, so they basically got through the township in a week. So that cut down their time, and then we were able to kind of keep an eye on them, whatever crews, depending on where we were at, they would take a scenic route in to make sure things were looking okay. So when the guys left Swan Creek, they went from, we call them deers.
Really?
They kind of back that way so they can see what that looks like, just to keep an eye on.
Everybody thought it was better?
Yeah, when the dumpster showed up, everyone kind of panicked. It's like, what is this? I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to start hauling garbage for everybody. And it wasn't funny. But anyway, no, so we had a garden hose for them. They filled up. Once they kind of figured out their process and how it worked, life was good. I would say it's a step in the right direction. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Right.
But again, I had less complaints on my phone, so that's...
I had less complaints.
So, and you got to realize, too, when we start in spring, that's the beginning of season, so... That's when their trucks are breaking. That's when they're finding all these issues. And they had a couple of days where things were just not going smooth.
Can we talk about timing for the remaining...
Two more sweeps.
Yes. Can we talk about that timing?
I just don't want to do it during leaf season.
No, I think we should be heavy now.
Heavy now.
Oh, they just finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, they finished last week.
What's your estimate as far as when the next two sweeps should take place? Just your best guess. We're not going to.
I would say somewhere before July 4th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after leaves.
Uh huh.
Except leaves lasted until December 15th, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So like either we.
So no, I say you do it before.
Or we get it in front of leaves.
Yeah, all before
October.
August 1st.
Because truthfully, whatever's left.
Take August 1st.
Like there's always.
I'm saying go now.
So with leafing, there's always a person that comes out late, and that's not one; it's 100. And sometimes we pick those piles up. Sometimes when the machines are cleaned and done, we're done. And then the plow pushes them back in the road. So we play that game, right? And once all the landscape companies quit coming out, they stay in the yard. And that's just the reality of how it works. So for us to, there's a pile here and water side, a pile over here. And I don't mean a pile, someone's little grocery bag full of leaves. For us to run the sweep super to pick that up is kind of silly. Because we're going to be salting that process too. So I think you're right. I think we do it before...
September 15th.
Yeah.
The roads aren't clean. It's not like they're perfect. They could be done again and be closer to perfect. So
and we could do another sweep next week and a week and two more weeks and do it and there's still
do it. You could do it every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
With all the building going on, the construction.
I think we focus on meeting our three-time requirement. I don't think
so. Maybe like June 15th, September 15th, or July 15th and September 15th.
Totally makes sense to me.
Before leaves come down. So is September 15th too late? Maybe it's the 1st, maybe Labor Day.
You could
go ahead and keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could keep an eye on the roads, see when they need it done, see when the leaves come down. See.
Yeah.
I have confidence in Doug that he could pick out the next two sweeps indeed.
Just do a fourth sweep after
the fourth sweep after the leaves. This basin broke.
Well, that's my next issue. But
right,
are we done with this conversation?
Yes.
With the leaves?
No, it's really my Monclova app. So I'm going to turn to our my Monclova app. Appetizer. I made two. What do they call it? Starter request. I made two requests. One was for a large item pickup, which I think is an amazing feature, and one was a picture of a basin that's caving in. The basin was responded to via the app right away. I don't know if they're coming for large item pickup. Like, I don't even know where to find it. And I thought maybe at this meeting you could share how to find that. So everybody know.
What do you mean find?
Well, I requested my, but I don't know they're coming. So how do they tell me you'll pick up your large item on this date?
I'm going to assume that you didn't complete it because I never got your request.
Oh.
When I did mine. It was like I got a notification of what day it was coming.
You sent an email back to me that said you'll know within 5 days. We'll notify you within 5 days.
That was probably the basin.
No, that was different.
That's interesting. I don't have a record of your large item.
Good. I don't want the large item picked up. So
you're done, right?
I saw my problem here tonight.
They're Republic, the item, they're so good with
what do they do normally? If you do complete this, they send you an email?
So it comes to me.
Yes.
And it also comes to Republic Services. Republic Services cannot respond within our app. I do.
Okay.
I do all the communication. But they get it right away so that they can put it on their route. Or they'll be aware of an issue or whatever. So
okay.
A lot of times by the time that I ask them, they already have a response. So it's really quick.
So you respond to the person.
So I'm responding.
Via the app that sends an email.
So when I get something, REST 4667, we're not in the 400s yet, but I'm just saying the same, then Republic gets that. They usually reach out to me and say, they reference that number and they say it's scheduled for May 21.
Okay.
If I don't hear from them, because I'm clicking it off, if I don't hear from them, then I'll reach out.
Okay.
But then I'm the one giving
that
the response.
That sends the response, and it comes
I'll
via
say,
email.
I'll say, remember to take the batteries out if it's an umbrella.
But it comes via email.
But all
not
the
on
app.
Your app.
It's all through the, it's that thread that you initially get. All the communications through that.
I'll sit at your desk and show you.
Yeah. I'll look again, Ben. Missed it.
No, I know
I
that
have.
You did.
I don't have any pending large items. I've scheduled.
I need to cancel the large item pickup. That's why I was waiting for this email.
Okay.
Last time it worked perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I'll look. Could be my mistake. I'll look.
All right, what else do you have in your report, Doug, other than, hey,
we cleaned the route up, the roundabout up, but I think you're cleaning it up again. I heard you, someone decided to drive through.
Yeah, but when I go,
which is crazy. Your head's in here. You seen the thing about the light switches? The electrical stuff? So.
In the new building or here?
In here. So
okay.
If you look, those light switches are new. When we were looking at them in some of the fire station, they were basically a remote switch that had a transmitter up to something in the lights. So that three-way switch wasn't working right, and then that's where I started digging, and that's when I decided to stop. Because what I found was over my head. Harold suggested using somebody. This guy is amazing. Kathleen can tell you how well they function. She's happy, we're happy.
Kathleen's happy, everybody's happy.
The fire station will be happy eventually. We're going to, he's over there tomorrow. They're not hardwired. What was originally there was a battery-operated mess. We're going to get rid of that. So now if a light switch goes bad, I can send one of my guys over here to fix the light switch. Before, I couldn't do that. I searched online I went to Groves. I went to every place I needed to go to find a light switch. Couldn't do it anyhow. Harold's guy, Kevin, has done a really good job. I'm happy with it. What else is new? We had a couple main breaks. One was at the Wabash Cannonball Trail. I talked to them, everything was fine, but there's a little thing going around, not our township, but EJ's sister came today about a problem with the people, the Metro Parks guys. We were named in something that we were not involved in. Somebody got into it with a Metro Parks employee. It wasn't our township. I talked to everybody. So if you hear that, that's a rumor. We're not involved. That's the neighboring township down the road. So before rumors hit, I just wanted to
talking about rumors last time, weren't we?
I heard it. I addressed it. I made sure we weren't involved. So if you hear that, you can for sure turn around and say our guys were not involved because they were. Trucks are back in. To give you guys an idea of what's coming up in the next 2 weeks, Strayer Road, there's some asphalt's got to get removed. We're going to take care of that. The catch basin that Barbara did her app thing on. She's not even listening.
Lazy listening?
Now, the storm drain is still open, so we had a tech guy explain. On your app, there's a little the three menu lines. There you can track your bus. And so the storm drain is still open.
Yes.
See,
pretty? Request. Start it and try.
I hope everyone who uses the app tries to make a request now and then tracks it. Please, please do something in the maintenance building. So take pictures of every storm drain and request.
No.
Start it.
I'm going to need to have you come help us.
I would like to.
So Thursday, when we start your catch basin, I'm going to call you and say, hey, by the way,
such a bad picture. Is this what you saw?
Yeah, but I saw it on my phone, so it was even worse.
Wow, I got to do a job with the pictures. How interesting.
So I look at it today.
Whenever somebody submits a picture, I almost always tell them you. Because it does make a difference.
Okay.
Right?
Well, Kathleen's right. So when people submit things, it's the end of the world. And you look at it, and it's really not the end of the world. And then sometimes, it's not that bad. And you go over there, and there's a hole that I can put a card in. Like, a picture does paint 1,000 words. Oh, that was the best? No, but at least it gives me something to work. So when I got your request, I was out of town. I still checked my email because I'm that guy. I called EJ. I said, hey, run over there and go check it out. Barricade it off, whatever we got to do. And I even text you just so you knew that I got your request. Because I won't answer it from my phone. I want to close it Thursday when it's done. And then Kathleen told me, hey, close it so it's not open and shows that we haven't responded. I might go in tomorrow morning and close it and say, hey, it'll get addressed this way.
Right. I think you barricading it meant it was closed. And I didn't even know that was there. But if you need to look, you go to these lines and it tracks the class.
Last year, you remember the other one?
And I'm supposed to put my large item out Wednesday. Can I cancel that?
Tuesday night.
Can I cancel that?
Today I can cancel it. Tomorrow I probably couldn't because it would already be on the ground.
So your basin, right? We're going to handle that one. The reason why we're going to work on that one is because another structure issue didn't happen. A walking break didn't happen. Sanitary line didn't collapse and cause. Yeah, this one failed because of a different reason.
We're explaining why the county isn't doing this.
Yes, that's why we're doing it in-house. Versus the other one was not our, it wasn't our cause, so it wasn't our responsibility. This one falls on us, so that's why it's a little different.
Yeah, that's the conversation we were having earlier in the working session, that lots of things require our partners to do some level of work, and they sometimes let us down. So can we improve service?
So
based on some parameters.
I try to make a good working relationship with the county at all of
sure,
us. Like, so
sure.
Whether it's
sure.
Panooski's office, and they help us. They help my area out. Hazard, for instance, I call him anytime I have an asphalt question, whether it's a parking lot, our parking lot, whatever, community center, and he jumps, helps me, leads me in the right direction, because he's the professional. He does it every day. So I would rather have someone that, another set of eyes to say, no, this probably isn't going to work.
Well, Harold has details on another problem on Wackerly Road that I'll share with you tomorrow. Maybe I'll go over and take a picture tonight and start a river quiet.
We'll wait till it gets dark. It might get dark.
Just Looks like everything else, the trees in the cemetery and the other trees you mentioned under parks, are those the arborvitaes behind the cemetery?
They're all in. So last week, the guys, I was gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. In the, I won't say the guys, it's not fair to say anymore. The crew, all of them, killed it. They got in 8 trees. They got all the grass cut. They did everything more than I expected. So, like, kudos to them for...
So you're saying your piece is not needed?
Yeah, it's probably part-time at this point. It's not at all. I'm saying the team that we have assembled works really well. Patricia's off her 90-day probation. She signed up for her CDL. She's ready to go. She's had her physical. Everything is in line for that, and that's June 2nd, 6th? I don't know. The 2nd. And then I have two proposals, a mower and a AED. So, did you guys read that in your thing, in your packet, your email I gave you? Yes, no?
Your request was twedge.
Oh, God. So, I'll to you. One's a grass 729T6. This mower was in the budget for this year. It's a rear discharge mower, which means we don't blow grass on headstones. So I've been kind of using some of Gavin's thought processes on how much time is spent doing a task, how much time we'll save, and how much time, like, where can we use that time saved? What is it? Are we saving anything, or are we just going to waste it doing something, right? So doing the math, we did, and I have pictures on my phone if you want to see them, of how many headstones are covered in grass because we have side discharge mowers. The answer is the Friday before Monday weekend, they spent 6 hours blowing grass headstones. Well, everyone's like, well, if you mow to the inside, it won't blow up. No. Our mowers have so much power that they're hitting the next row over. So the solution to that is to get a rear discharge mower that doesn't blow grass all over the headstones, which then saves us 6 hours every time we mow grass, right? So 6 hours of blowing off headstones. So the $16,889 mower pays for itself in about a year and a half from you look at labor hours and time spent. We already had the budget. I would like to get one this year, one next year, and we have one in theory for next year's budget. Chuck asked if it was through state bid. It's not through Sourcewell. Sourcewell is who, I can't think of their name. Place them on me.
Elmer,
yeah, that's who they use. So state bid pricing has fallen apart since COVID. I think Harold and I have had this discussion. It used to be that's where you go, that's what you buy. The problem with state bid is this. I'll use this as a purchase that we did. The 550, if we use state bid's numbers, we have less options and paid $7,000 more. Because the state said this is the price for that vehicle.
You're saying the pickup truck.
And I'm just using an example.
Okay, you have 550, but it's like a pickup.
Yeah, the Ford F-550. By going to a new dealer, you get dealership incentives, and you get a better price. And we can buy locally, not out in Cleveland. It's the same thing with mowers. It's the same thing we did with the Boomford. Everything that we bought hasn't been. What's your question?
It's for Gavin.
Oh. So.
Okay, we can buy it locally and buy it cheaper, yes, without going through Portland.
Yeah, the retail is $23. We're getting it for $16.89.
Condensed version. We can buy it cheaper, buy it locally.
Yes, there you go. That's
in stock. So.
So I'm asking you guys, want to vote on that? Vote on that, yes or no? And then next one's a AED for our building. We don't have an AED. So we don't have an automated, help me out here, Matt. Someone.
External defibrillator.
Thank you. At the maintenance building, there's a law that's been tossed around back and forth about there's supposed to be one present at the park. That doesn't meet that intent, but we don't have one at our building. The whole purpose is to have one, in our building.
I'll make a motion to purchase a Grasshopper 729T6 for Bellner Equipment ME for not to exceed $17,000.
Seconded
by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to purchase a Stryker AED for the maintenance building as well.
Second.
That was one.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
The AED is the mandated
product.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Wow. And you guys have all been trained on that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a plan?
As far as, so...
Keeping everybody healthy?
Well, no, we're not keeping it outside, but...
No,
so right now it's going to be in the maintenance department, okay, underneath our first aid cabinet. The whole thought process is if someone in the shop needs it, if someone's on the trail, because we could get a lot of people come up with cuts, bumps, and bruises, flat tires, that sort of thing. At least we're kind of meeting the intent of being able to get something there.
And if we need to correct it, we can.
But it gets us moving in the right direction.
Yeah, got it. Perfect.
Do you guys have any questions for me?
Chuck wants me to be quiet. I'm not allowed to ask questions.
No, I guess on the quotes and the pickleball screens, that seems like a... I'd like to see how the arborvitaes work out as far as reducing the signs.
5 years from now?
$35,000 for this. That's
and that's... We're plus or minus a couple thousand, depending on what... But I don't have everything done yet.
Yeah.
And that's doing the north-south fences and the west fence. That's doing nothing to the east of the parking lot side, so you can still see through. Now, we have a couple screens that are damaged that I'm working on getting warrantied through Midwest, the place we bought them from. That's not been a great, easy process. So then once I started looking at these windscreens or these sound things, when we warranted, we would get those windscreens cut for the front of the gate so we had backups. So there's kind of a couple things happening here. Right? If I can get those panels replaced. But if we're going to put up sound editing, why would we do that? Because then I can't use them to the front side of the fence. Are you following? So if you want me to hit the brakes on the
sound. I would think the sound would cut down on the wind.
Yes.
I mean, they're much heavier. It would be a huge help for pickleball. Call them parallel
pass. Big run parallel pass, sir.
Yeah, I don't think you should give up. I think that it's an issue. And though it's expensive for our park budget, it might solve more than one issue.
So there is a risk 2,000 feet from the pickleball courts just to the west. And I don't know if you've seen the videos, and you could hear clear as day over there a radio. You could see the light. Like, I could see those people not being at all happy. Now, the neighbors to the east of the pickleball court, I still have yet to see, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think we can run parallel paths there. All right, Harold, let's get into your report then. No action items, which some information we talked about, the roundabout, salt order, we have the cracked ceiling in Ford, my Clover Road sewer, the stormwater, ditch assessments, and resurfacing.
I have one question. We're talking about the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to, we've got VoIP phones and we have hardwire phones. Would we have to install a whole new phone system to have it in the cloud?
Still working on getting that clarified. I'm not so certain.
Because we have both at our office. And the only thing I'm saying is when the internet went out, my phones went out, but I will have to say, my hardwire phones stayed on my desk and worked.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, once your internet's gone, my phones don't ring. So I'm just suggesting maybe there might be a balance in there still.
Our current phone system is VoIP.
Oh, is it VoIP?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
What he is suggesting is cloud, and I don't know. I'm not technical enough to know.
Does our internet ever go down and then the phones don't work here? I don't know. Is your internet?
It may have happened
once or twice.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, because if our internet went down, my phone don't work.
Right.
Something just to as we progress on here.
I'm getting pros and cons before I make a recommendation on that. But I just wanted you to be aware that, you know, it's something that we're working on.
Right.
I see our cameras are up. I had a hard time finding them last night. I'm looking around on the bathrooms. I'm looking around on top of the things. I finally figured out where they were.
No, I can show you on my phone how well they picked up. You can zoom in.
You're going to see all kinds of things.
I don't want to see that.
Any other questions for Harold and the board? All right, that concludes our regular agenda. Are there any questions in the audience regarding the agenda items?
Can I ask? Waterville, Monclova Stitt Road roundabout. Do you have any issues with me putting out some sort of announcement on the app saying that we're taking over the maintenance?
You mean as far as we're starting on it?
Yes, because even today I got somebody complaining about it, thinking that all this time it was our responsibility.
Right. Yeah. Doug, are you definitely on it tomorrow?
This week.
This week. Don't say tomorrow because it could be whatever.
Our guys are listening and they're all going to call sick tomorrow.
So Kathleen is asking for permission to put out there that when you say it's going to be started this week instead of not giving a specific day?
Yeah. Can
we
do that? Is that good?
Sure.
All right. I'll make a motion then to adjourn from general session to executive session to discuss a personnel issue.
Seconded by Vicker and Motion Lang.
Yes.
Vicker.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, do you guys want chrome shovels? Somebody start opening that roundabout up. You guys can come down.
Hi.
All
right.
All right. Returning from executive session at 7:35 p.m. Make a motion to return to general session.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the Motion Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Vicker.
Yes.
At this time, we have no action items.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel.
Vickery.
Yes.
Yes.